And I'm David Green at a coffee shop in Des Moines, Iowa. Well, caucus night is over. Ted Cruz was the winner on the Republican side. Hillary Clinton won on the Democratic side by a razor-thin margin. And then came this ritual in American politics. A caravan of planes left Des Moines and headed overnight from Manchester, New Hampshire. I am joined in this coffee shop in Des Moines by two of my colleagues who cover politics, Susan Davis and Don Gagne. Hello to you both.
Glad to be
hey,
here.
Hey, David.
So, Don, you just drove through what looks like a blizzard outside to get here in time to go on the air. I just wanted to make that clear to people. How was it?
It got worse as I drove, and about halfway through, I couldn't go back.
Oh, yes.
Well, so here I am.
Well, we're glad you didn't. You crossed that halfway point. You know, that caravan I mentioned of those planes going from Des Moines to Manchester, you have made that trip.
8 years ago, after Barack Obama won the Iowa caucuses, he had the big speech at the convention center downtown. We loaded into vans and flew overnight from Des Moines to I think we went to Portsmouth or somewhere. We didn't go to Manchester. But there's that moment where you're sitting on the tarmac and you think the day is done, but actually the next day has already begun because you know you won't
sleep
on the flight. And I seem to recall, as we were on the tarmac that night, you were on the tarmac that night as well,
yeah,
on the Hillary Clinton plane,
yeah,
the Obama plane, the candidate and his staff were much happier than the guys you were covering.
Much happier indeed. The Clinton campaign was not happy 8 years ago, but they sounded happy last night, and our colleague Tamara Keith was on that Clinton campaign plane just as the final results were coming in, and we spoke to her just after she landed in Manchester.
There was no Wi-Fi on the flight, and when we landed, they took a minute for everybody to turn on their phones, and then a round of applause went up from the front of the plane where the staff was seated. Then the press secretary came on the loudspeaker and announced the Iowa Democratic Party had declared Hillary Clinton the winner in Iowa, and the staff applauded once again.
Well, what happens now as we move to New Hampshire? I mean, this is a place where Bernie Sanders has been ahead in the polls. He's from right next door in Vermont. I mean, this could be tough territory for Hillary Clinton if she's coming out of Iowa with such a narrow victory and in a state that she might not win.
It is incredibly tough territory for Hillary Clinton, and her campaign has sort of been downplaying expectations here in New Hampshire for a couple of months now. They really feel like those polls that show Bernie Sanders way ahead, they're on to something. And that's why the campaign has been repeating this line, well, you know, he is from the neighboring state, hoping to not make it look like there's too much burn-mentum if he does ultimately win New Hampshire. But, you know, she's planning to campaign hard here. She has two events here later today.
And you were last night, Tam, in a room full of Clinton supporters, and we should say at a time when it looked like the race was a virtual tie. It hadn't been declared for her yet. But what was the mood at that point?
They were in a fairly good mood. I talked to a man named Chris Hopkins. He came in from Austin, Texas. He has a pro-Hillary blog, and asked him how he was feeling.
Well, I keep hearing that it looks like it's a done deal, and she did say she breathed a sigh of relief. So I'm waiting on the results like everybody else. It's so close. It's amazing.
And that just gives you a sense of the great uncertainty that there was well after she left the ballroom last night.
And tell me a little bit about what Hillary Clinton had to say, Tam. Again, we should say it at the time when, you know, the results were not clear.
Yeah, she came out on stage and said that she was breathing a sigh of relief and that she was looking forward to a very serious debate with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. And now that Martin O'Malley is out of the race, it will be a one-on-one matchup where they will be able to, in upcoming debates and in stump speeches on the trail, debate ideas.
All right, we should say, as you said, our colleague Sam Sanders is with Bernie Sanders' campaign, and we're going to be hearing from him and to get a sense of the mood from that campaign elsewhere in the show. Martin O'Malley, as you mentioned, former Maryland governor, was the third candidate in this race. He has now dropped out. Just briefly, Tam, what happened to his aspirations?
You know, it was sort of a failure to lift off. He really never got above low single digits. I think that Bernie Sanders took a lot of the steam away from him.
There you go. All right, NPR's Tamara Keith, who on very little sleep has landed with the Clinton campaign in Manchester, New Hampshire. Thanks, Tam.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm here with two of my other colleagues, Susan Davis and Don Gagne. And let's turn, if we can, to the Republican race as it moves to New Hampshire. And Sue, you've been covering Marco Rubio, who even though he finished in third, it seems like it was a strong third. And he has, so there's some expectation that he might be able to sort of carry this establishment candidate mantle as things move on to New Hampshire.
Right. And there's this question of all these lower tier candidates that are still in the race. Do they look at New Hampshire or look at Iowa and going into New Hampshire and start to move towards Rubio? An important thing to know about New Hampshire that's different than Iowa is if you don't get 10% in the state, that's the threshold, you get zero delegates. So in that sense, New Hampshire is going to be another winnowing of this field. So for Rubio, better than 10, which he's kind of at 10 right now, anything above that is going to be good for him. He needs to be above that 10-point mark. And all these guys in the single digits, if they can't get better, they didn't do well here, if they don't do well in New Hampshire, then maybe we do get closer to this being a strictly three-person field as we go into South Carolina.
Don Gagne, one person who is polling well above that threshold right now in New Hampshire is Donald Trump, but disappointment that he didn't win here in Iowa after leading in the polls in those final days?
Oh, absolutely disappointed. They you know, wanted to win. They probably expected the win because I think they just expect to win. But this the caucuses and the vote last night showed that a great on the ground organization, which Ted Cruz has here, works. And Trump's campaign was not, he didn't wander into a coffee shop like this one. He didn't hit the bookstore. It was all those big events with maybe 1,000 or 2,000, or in some cases 10 or 12,000 people. The big question was, will so many of these people who were new to the process, energized by his celebrity, his message, whatever it was, would they turn out? And it's not that they didn't. But the Cruz folks, especially the organization and the help of the evangelical groups, really, really, really did that job.
All right, well, let's hear from the winner, Senator Ted Cruz. Our colleague Sarah McCammon spent last night at Cruz headquarters.
Ted Cruz got to make the victory speech he was hoping for last night. He started by thanking God and praising the grassroots organization that helped him win.
Iowa has sent notice that the Republican nominee and the next president of the United States will not be chosen by the media.
In a room full of hundreds of cheering supporters on the Iowa State Fairgrounds, Cruz repeated themes from his stump speech. Taking on both the media and the Washington establishment, he said the next president will be chosen
by we the people, the American people.
Cruz ran a textbook campaign for a Republican caucus winner in Iowa, building a network of thousands of volunteers, tapping into support from evangelicals, and visiting all of Iowa's 99 counties. In the week before the caucuses, Cruz made as many as half a dozen stops a day, while Trump was back and forth between Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. At the campaign's election night headquarters, communications director Rick Tyler said Cruz's strategy worked, and Trump's massive rallies didn't deliver a win.
People turn out to these huge events, but they don't turn out to vote. So, that reality has hit the reality star.
Political observers had speculated that a large turnout would be a good sign for Trump, but Republicans turned out in record numbers and gave Cruz the win.
We feel great.
Feeling awesome. Great night. Awesome
tonight
night.
Was perfect.
Ted Sturgill and his friend Steve Bogus were celebrating with the campaign. Bogus said he was drawn to Cruz's conservative Christian message and his reputation for taking on the Washington establishment.
He's solid and he fights. He doesn't give up. He won't back down.
Cruz will have to fight hard in New Hampshire, which holds the nation's first primary next week. Trump is way ahead in the polls, and Florida Senator Marco Rubio has picked up momentum after his strong third place showing in Iowa. Sturgill said if anyone can take down Trump, it's Cruz.
The polls are wrong in Iowa. Yep. Iowans came out and proved the pollsters wrong. So anything is possible. You just gotta believe.
Believe and campaign hard. That's why Cruz wrapped up his victory speech and got on a plane to New Hampshire. Sarah McCammon, NPR News, Des Moines.
You know, this campaign in Iowa has been full of so many little magical moments. I saw one last night. I was at a caucus, and the undecideds were in one part of the room, and the chair said, "Undecideds, do you have someone who's going to be your chair?" And they said, "We can't decide." Don Gagne, any moments stand out to you in Iowa?
Well, it's an undecided thing. I was in Johnston at a middle school, and so many people I talked to hadn't decided until just in the past couple of days. We hear that, but it was really striking, and a lot of those I talked to went for Rubio, so I came out of there feeling this could be a good night for him.
I was at the Machine Shed yesterday morning, a restaurant here near town.
A well-known restaurant with
yes.
very good food.
And I met a kid who is from New Zealand, and he paid his own way to come to Iowa because he was so enamored of this process and the state to be here. And it was nice to be reminded that, you know, our politics often seem negative, but they can be really aspirational, inspirational to a lot of other people.
I bet it was worth the trip.
Yes, he was very happy to be here.
My colleague Sue Davis and Don Gagne joining us here as a blizzard is outside at Smoky Bro Coffee Shop in Des Moines. Thank you both.
Thanks, David.
It was fun.